I want to open up by showing just a little video this week. It's a video of a guy named Philip Wellman. Does that ring any bells with anybody? Some of you have probably seen this. Nevertheless, you'll know it when you'll recognize it when you see it. Philip Wellman was is the manager of the minor league team, the Mississippi Braves. And what I would like to call this video, I guess, is it really captures what not to do in a stressful situation. Okay? We go. That little tirade not only gained him worldwide recognition on the internet, but also earned him a 3-game suspension in the season. I used to watch Earl Weaver's tirades. You know, I really missed that guy. He was my hero. When he would come out there and just get in the ump's face. I'm sorry, that's really a bad example, but you know, he had class about it. But oh well. Nevertheless, as amusing as that might be, I think we would all agree that the destructive power of rage and anger doesn't always take on such humorous dimensions, that it's not always funny when someone reacts violently or angrily or in an irate manner to the stress that's going on in their life. In fact, when you look at even everyday newscasts on the news, you see almost literally every day examples of people just going off. I guess the phrase is going postal. No offense to any postal workers here. I knew a postal worker once, and he kind of scared me a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, everything from, you know, Columbine, the students that had been taunted for so many years, and one day they just snapped and went about and tried to blow up the school and shot so many other students. You hear of people in a rage going into their former employer and shooting up the office and wounding or killing people. Ordinary families subject to meltdowns in their home, like Chris Peeler was talking about at the parenting seminar. You know, I just hold them on such a pedestal, but he was so honest and humble about the things that they struggle with in their own family relationships. And, you know, sometimes life is a little bit messy and people have attitudes and, you know, we're not always as gracious as God would have us to be. It's just we are a work in progress. But this week, as we continue in our study of the book of Acts, and we're moving from chapter 8 into chapter 9, what we're going to see is how God broke through the rage of a particular man and was ultimately, as we know, able to use him in just incredible ways to advance the kingdom of God. But he had this problem. And God was able to break through that fire and that rage and that torrent of anger inside of him to transform him into a mighty man of God for Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to Acts chapter 9, verse 1. We'll have it on the screen, but you're welcome to follow along with us. The first time we saw this guy, Saul, he was a young man. A couple chapters ago, he was getting his head handed to him in a debate with a guy named Stephen. They were duking it out theologically about Jesus Christ, whether he was actually the Messiah, and things got ugly, and Stephen was arrested and brought before the council. They ultimately stoned him to death, and while they were stoning him, Saul was there consenting to his death, holding the robes and the cloaks of those who were throwing the stones. And immediately after that, he helped to launch a massive persecution against the church that was so severe it literally emptied Jerusalem of believers except for the apostles. People fled for their lives. And there was about 25,000 believers in Jerusalem around that time. So you can imagine this mass exodus of people fleeing to the hills, fleeing to the countryside for their lives as Saul was leading people around. And we're going to see this in a little bit more detail later. As Saul was leading people around to go and break into homes and drag people out and haul them off to jail and to prison and to death. In fact, there's a passage, Acts 8:3, where it sort of capsulizes it. It says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison." So there was terror, there was chaos, there was panic, there was violence, and Jerusalem was just in an uproar, and people fled for the hills. Then we covered the rest of chapter 8, the last couple of weeks, and brings us to chapter 9. Father, I just pray that you would bless this reading of your word. Lord, that you would open our hearts to hear and understand. God, make this real to us, Lord. Put your fire in our bones, Lord, and convict us of your words, God. Transform us and change us in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have your way with us today, Lord. We implore you, and we trust you in faith. In Jesus' name. Acts 9:1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. Another translation says he saw nothing. He was blinded. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. This passage starts out saying, Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples. What kind of emotions do those words describe? What do you think? What kind of state of mind was he in? Hate, anger, rage, resentment, bitter maybe? What other emotions? Prideful, like a wounded animal. Amen. Hate, anger, bitterness. Now, hate and anger can be different. They're closely related. You know, you can have someone who's hateful, but not necessarily angry. I've witnessed to people before who hated Christianity. They had a passionate hatred for the Lord, and as I would be in them, talking with them, they'd be very sociable people. But then you bring up the gospel, and you bring up the things of God, and suddenly they became very angry. And that hate just... It was like a spark that just set it off and it just exploded out of them. And they began to speak vehemently against the gospel and really didn't want to talk about it anymore. So rage, anger, hatred, pride, all of these words describe that. Now, just so that you know I'm not just reading this into the text, I want to share some things from some commentators, some classic commentators about this particular passage. There's a guy named Albert Barnes from the last century, kind of like Matthew Henry, did a whole commentary on the Bible. This is what he says about that. He said, talks about the word threatening. He says it's denunciation. Threatening them with every breath, the action of a man violently enraged and who was bent on vengeance. It denotes also intense activity and energy in persecution. After that, a guy named A.T. Robertson, the great Greek scholar, said this, not breathing out, but breathing in. The tense of these words means that the threatening and slaughter that had come to be the very breath that Saul had breathed, like a warhorse who sniffed the smell of battle, he breathed on the remaining disciples the murder that he had already breathed in from the death of the others. He exhaled what he inhaled. He was literally breathing the breath of violence and anger and rage. Next one. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Not there yet. Praise God. Oh, yeah, I am. Matter of fact, I'm ahead of myself. Go ahead.
I'm so confused.
Paul's own word. Let's go to the Apostle Paul, formerly the Pharisee Saul, and see what he said about his own self, the way he was responding in that situation at that time. He said, I persecuted this way to the death, not to the pain. Thank you, yes, for those of you seen that movie. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. He said a few verses later in 22, so I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprison and beat those who believe on you. And a few chapters later, he came up with this synopsis. It's very compelling in his testimony. He said, this I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme.